It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of March from New York City. Rinse and repeat. How the Jazz are dominant and what it shows. Plus, 10 guys, 12 guys doing the same thing really matters. And a Time Machine Tuesday. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Hope you're doing great today. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is your daily podcast from the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, a lot of geeky numbers, and hope you enjoy the show. We give it to you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and then when you get in your car, tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On Jazz. Solid win last night by the Jazz. A lot of Jazz fans there. We have just the Donovan Mitchell phenomena. The arena last night, you could noticeably hear Jazz fans cheering. It was interesting. I don't, you know, Washington, D.C. is not a place I usually think of having a huge amount of Jazz fans. But the Donovan Mitchell jerseys are everywhere. And it is noticeably different on the road than it ever has been before. Absolutely different than it's ever been before. Let's run through the playoff situation after last night. Update you on that. And then rinse and repeat. Just talk about how the Jazz really, it's going to be a very similar show to a little bit of what you've heard from me before, because the Jazz are just doing the same things to get the wins, and I'm just going to reiterate a lot of the same stuff to you about how good this team is right now. And then I thought last night was really revealing in what happens when a team doesn't have buy-in, because Washington was terrible. I mean, their defense was a disaster and a little embarrassing. No, a lot embarrassing. And some of the closeouts were awful, and you just couldn't get away with that. And we have guys that are bought in universally to do it. So let's walk through last night and see what impact it has on things. Denver got a super good win last night. Just give them credit. They're the second best team. They've established it. They've earned it. They had an easy schedule early in the year. It gave them a ton of momentum, and they have rolled. They had a 31% win probability in Boston last night, got the win. Oklahoma City had a 90 win probability last night against the Miami Heat, but then Russell Westbrook got suspended and Oklahoma City lost. This is getting interesting. Oklahoma City had 8 games that were certain wins between 80 and 100%. They are 2-2. They had 7 games between 60 and 80. They are 1-3 so far. They have 6 games total, 4 played so far, of pick-ems. They're 1-3. Now, I know Russ was out last night. So then Paul George, you know, just has the same life as Donovan Mitchell. He doesn't have another superstar to try to carry him for the night. And they got waxed. 116 to 107. Paul George had 31. Grant had 27. Schroeder had 20. They got about 10 points off their bench all night, and they got beat badly. It's Oklahoma City's worth keeping an eye on in a not positive manner. Portland played Indiana last night despite not having C.J. McCollum, 70% win probability, and they got it. Portland is now 3-0 in their should-win games. The Jazz, with a 61 win percentage, blew out Washington last night. The Jazz are now 4-2 in their should-win games. San Antonio, with a 23% win probability last night, beat the Warriors. How about the Spurs? San Antonio, listen to this the rest of the way. 70% win probability against the Heat, 18 against the Rockets, 23 against the Celtics. 40 against the Hornets because it's on the road. Then 87 against the Cavs, 80 against the Kings, 85 against the Hawks, 19 against the Nuggets, 44 on the Wizards, 71 on the Cavaliers, 76 on the Mavericks. Not sure how many losses they have left. Clippers play the Pacers tonight. Kings play the Nets tonight. So that's last night. The big story, obviously, is the Spurs changing the dynamic and the Thunder continuing to lose. So we go check our quick daily check of 538, see where things sit. Remember, everything was at 50-50-50 going into last night's game. Warriors still won. Nuggets comfortably at 2. Rockets comfortably at 3. Celtics or Blazers are now 51 wins. Jazz are 50 wins. Thunder are 49. Spurs 48. Clippers 47. This is wild. So this now has Jazz 4-5 starting in Portland. I think we'd take that. You're not getting Denver anymore unless we start losing some games we shouldn't lose. And then you could end up with Denver at 7 very easily because the Spurs are, who knows what the Spurs are going to do. Last night, the Jazz just did a lot of the same things we've been talking about. So what makes the Jazz great right now is the defense. It's the fifth straight game they've held an opponent under 100 points per possession. They absolutely blew up the shot distribution of Bradley Beal last night. When the Jazz are great, and the impact that Rudy has, is he changes the shot distribution entirely of their best of guard players. If you go into this game last night, so Bradley Beal coming into the game takes 4 shots. We talked about this yesterday. 4 shots at the rim, 4 shots in the paint, non-restricted, 5 mid-range jumpers, a corner 3.5, and 6 threes. Last night he took 3 threes because the Jazz allow the fewest threes in the league because of the fact that they have Rudy Gobert, and so because they have Rudy, the defenders can stay out on the shooters better than probably anyone. Then the next aspect of this is that because you have Rudy, he ends up taking 4 shots at the rim last night, but 3 of them are when Udo's in the game. He doesn't take a shot in the paint non-restricted. His one of his best shots, a 57% shot, he never takes last night. And he takes a bunch of mid-range shots and hits a few of them because he's Bradley Beal and he's great. But the Jazz completely blew up his regular shot chart. And that's what the Jazz do against guards. We saw it last year with Evan Fournier and Victor Oladipo in back-to-back games. And we saw it last night with Bradley Beal. That Rudy's presence, defensive game plan, good work by the guards, a combination of multiple things, means that someone like Bradley Beal, who's used to getting certain shots, suddenly doesn't get the same shots. And then when he doesn't get the same shots, he's not as comfortable and he doesn't shoot as well. And he was a non-factor last night. Great work by Joe Ingles, great work by Donovan, great work by Ricky Rubio. They were all over him. They gave him fits. The storylines of what we've talked about for the last few games are true again. Another game, Jazz are the best defense in the league in the last 10 games. Another game under 100. And then, to that point, another game of absolutely blowing up someone's shot distribution. 29 mid-range shots last night for the Wizards. And they went 9 of 29. The night before, Brooklyn took an incredible 48 mid-range shots. The night before that, the Minnesota Timberwolves took an incredible 40 mid-range shots. The night before that, Phoenix took an insane 36 mid-range shots. It has been 5 straight games since anyone's taken 30 shots at the rim against the Jazz. You start to try to dig into this a little bit and try to make some sense out of it. This is what makes the Jazz great. You start to... The average right now in the league is, I believe, 35% of all shots are at the rim. Might be a little less. Yeah, 33% of all shots are at the rim. The Jazz are getting close to 30% allowed. I mean, that is the number one most important shot in the game. So if you suddenly are not allowing that shot anymore, and you're also the number one team in the league at denying threes, you just become you become good defensively prior to whether or not they are making shots or not. That's the most important part about what the Jazz defense is because Rudy denies the rim and the guys hug three-point shooters, teams aren't even getting looks that give them a chance to have a good night. Latest update, the Jazz are the fourth-best team in the league at defending the rim when you actually take a shot. And the sixth-best team in the league at not allowing you to get a shot at 31.6%. I bet you Milwaukee is setting historical records at 27.5. Golden State is second at 29.1. San Antonio is third at 29.3. I mean, this is how you win. Miami is 5 at 31.7. Fourth is Dallas. And then Utah. This is the key. Barbecue pit stop. There's three of them. And if you love barbecue, you need to get there. One in Lehi, one in Layton, and now one in Salt Lake City, Utah, right on 3rd West at 1300 East. What is the barbecue pit stop? Well, it's kind of the mecca of all awesomeness from a barbecue standpoint. Smokers, grills, ribs, sauces, events, teaching you how to do various things. You get incredible selection, you get great expertise, and what you really get is you get a barbecue aficionado expert to help you forever. When I was up in the Layton store, a guy came in who bought a grill from him 3 years ago, and it comes in all the time, and the guy's like, yeah, he comes in like twice a week, and he's like, he's been here twice already this week. Like, you get a guy who's going to help you figure out your rubs and your sauces and what to do with your grills and what meats you're cooking. Kennedy up in the Layton store is the best. I've never seen someone who loves his barbecue as much as Kennedy. They compete. They go into all the competitions. But he had this rub for chicken and that rub for pork and this rub for beef and then this sauces. And they have a sauce tasting test. It's incredible. The barbecue pit stop. If you're the best way to say it is if you think of the ultimate golf shop, fly fisherman shop with all the, that's it for barbecuing. Stop by in Logan, excuse me, in Layton, in Lehi, not in Logan, in Lehi, in Layton, and now in Salt Lake City. But speaking of Logan, there is a Murdoch Hyundai in Logan, and I was going to tell you about Murdoch Hyundai next. 46 South State Street in Salt Lake City is in Murray. They're in Logan, and they are down in Linden. Lots of L cities today to deal with. Blake's down in Linden. The guys are there. I got a great email yesterday from probably the single guy who's keeping me in business more than anyone else with his loyalty to our products. That's more than anything else out there. He calls it locked on happiness. He's bought himself Grip 6 belts. Excuse me. He's bought himself everything. Kevin Smith. And he sent me yesterday, I'm about to buy my fourth car from Hyundai. Three in Linden, one in Logan in the past 5 months. The brand new 2018 Hyundai Elantra I bought for my son the day after Christmas, which I wrote to you about in the email below, unfortunately met its demise in an accident, but fortunately Hyundai vehicles are safe and my son is fine. That's why we got one. So here we sit in the Linden dealership again getting my son an Elantra. Shout out to Ethan Abbott and Adam Hurst. I'm on a first name basis with these guys. I'm a Murdoch customer for life, although I do think I've probably hit my car buying quota for a while. That is from Kevin Smith. They're an absolute class organization. Check out Murdoch Hyundai. If you're out looking for a car right now, make sure you include a Hyundai in your search. I think you'll find out the value that you can get for that is somewhat unprecedented. I think you'll be very, very, very pleased with what you can discover. Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. My room has become a sauna here in New York. I went out on an early walk this morning. Bakery that was the first ever to come up with a cronut, which is the donut and the croissant, is right near our hotel. I did not stop in. I actually walked all this way to go to a specific bagel shop, and then when I got there, it had been closed due to a fire, so it was kind of a bummer. But we're staying in an amazing part of New York, and it's absolutely gorgeous out today. So just incredibly fabulous day. All right, let me just kind of revisit one more thing defensively, because we've just kind of done it every day. I think I got to it, actually. Never mind. I was going to say that they only took 25 shots at the rim again last night. So last night, the Jazz had 20 of 25 shots at the rim. Washington ended up taking 19, according to Cleaning the Glass. Cleaning the Glass called this game early due to blowout time, so the numbers aren't complete. They at 8:05 left in the fourth, they called this one. Jazz defensive rating was a 93.8. The offensive rating was a 121, according to them. And here it was again. The Jazz shot frequency last night, 33% of shots at the rim, 40% of their shots is three, so 73%. That's actually not as good a night for them as usual. Washington, though, only 31% of their shots is threes and only one corner three the entire game. What jumped out to me last night about the Jazz and what Quinn has is that everybody plays defense. And what you saw, I thought, on Washington last night is when somebody comes in the game who doesn't want to play defense and only wants to score, it's a disaster. Their defense was so bad, it evidently has been much of the year, but there was no effort. I mean, they weren't trying. They were leaving Joe Ingles and Ricky Rubio wide open. Like, not wide open like game plan wide open, like I don't feel like going and closing out wide open. I mean, Jabari Parker had 19 points, and if anybody comes up to you at the office today and says, oh my gosh, look, Jabari had 19, maybe we should go get him, they clearly didn't watch the game. I mean, his defense was a disaster last night. They when they did play defense, they played faux defense. In other words, like, you run at the shooter, but you actually have no intention of shortening your steps to actually close out and prevent him from a drive, and you just, you're running at him, so it looks like you actually made an effort, and then he just drives right by you every time. It was incredible. But so why is that? Why is a team that actually had a chance this year so just horrendous defensively? And the only explanation I can have is that the minute you don't have everybody in, you're done. And Britton made a good comment on the postgame show that, hey, well, you know, we have Rudy who's also keeping tabs on you. But, like, the only teams that are worse than Washington defensively are Atlanta, Phoenix, New York, and Cleveland. So, of teams trying, Washington is the worst defense in the NBA. 29th in the league against the shot. How does that happen? And that is got to be it. That if you don't have a complete collective buy-in, so the minute you have one or two guys that's decided they're not, they don't really care about defense, and they're not going to defend, then why possibly would the rest of the crew care about it? When you look at the Jazz, Royce O'Neal comes in, Jay Crowder comes in, Kyle Court, everyone's defending. Rudy sets the precedent. Derek, hamstring strain second half last night. Didn't play. Hopefully he's all right. Rudy, you know, the Jazz are the number two team against the shot, number one overall defense, according to Cleaning the Glass if you eliminate blowout time. They're all out there giving it every second. And if somebody, when Jay Crowder didn't run back last night on a transition corner three, Quinn called a timeout and wouldn't have it. So some of it's coaching. Some of it's culture. But on the other end, the biggest piece of what's taking place here is just an overall commitment top to bottom. And watching Washington, it was an embarrassment. Like, Ron Boone afterwards was just stunned. Matt Harpering in the bus afterwards, just stunned. But I think it has to do with defense is hard. And so if somebody's not willing to do it in your group, why would anyone else try to do it? And that, to me, is where the Jazz have some uniqueness right now, is the fact that they are willing to do that every night. And that's what separates them from everyone else. Jazz in New York play the Knicks tomorrow. The Knicks were awful last night. The Knicks are awful. The Knicks last night lost to Toronto 128-92. I will try to prep them. They shot 33%. Kyle Lowry got hurt in that game. Hopefully he's all right. Their offensive rating was an 88. Their defensive rating was a 122. They had guys minus 30 in their starting lineup, did the Knicks. Then we head to Atlanta on a back end of a back-to-back. Atlanta will be on a home-home back-to-back. Oh, no, I take it back. Atlanta plays tonight, and they will be waiting and resting. So that'll be a tough one. Because Atlanta's actually playing pretty hard, doing some interesting things. All right, Time Machine Tuesday coming up. When you get in your car, make sure you tell your car to play podcast Locked On Jazz. You can also play Locked On Fantasy Basketball or Locked On NBA. Lots of great programs. All available for you as part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
What's up, Jazz fans? I'm Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. I'm here to talk to you about March Madness. Did you know you could fill out a tournament bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has totally free brackets with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during tournament time, so you might as well do it on the award-winning app with tons of free prizes. Whether you're on the Zion Duke bandwagon or finally think it's time for a small school like Gonzaga to cut down the nets, just make sure to enter DraftKings' first ever bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. Remember, free to enter with promo code DRIBBLE. You know how brackets work. Before the tip-off of the very first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round. You can do that by downloading the DraftKings app or heading to DraftKings.com. Now, don't forget to use that promo code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. Again, that code is DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battles for free, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Let's do Time Machine Tuesday. I carried my little bag that has all the dates in it, so let me pull up Basketball Reference. Let me go to Utah Jazz. Let me pull into the bag and find the year that we're going to go look at for our Utah Jazz. Ooh, 2006-07. That's the Derek Fisher comeback year, isn't it? 2006-07, the Jazz were 51-31. Jerry Sloan was the head coach. We lose to the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference Finals after beating the Warriors. Let's go find out. That's a 22-year-old Darren Williams, a 25-year-old Carlos Boozer, a 25-year-old Andre Kirilenko, a 27-year-old Mehmet Okur, a 32-year-old Fisher, and a 30-year-old Harpring. Wow, this feels like a 21-year-old Millsap, a 21-year-old Brewer. It feels like a perfectly put-together team. Just maybe a notch young, unfortunately. All right, let's go find March 19th. The Utah Jazz did not play March 19th, but they did play March 17th, and they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. 82-73, Cavaliers were LeBron and pretty good. Well, LeBron and Sasha Pavlovich, Larry Hughes, Jedrunas Ilgauskas, and Drew Gooden. They were terrible except for LeBron. LeBron played 43 minutes. No one freaked out about it. He had 24 points, 17 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He went 0 of 6 from 3. Sasha Pavlovich torched the Jazz with 21. Anderson Varejao, Donyell Marshall, Eric Snow, and Ira Neubel came off the bench for the Jazz that night. Darren Williams went 5 of 14 for 12 points. He had 7 assists, 4 rebounds. Memo only went 6 of 17. Jazz shot 2 of 14 from 3. Derek Fisher hit them both. Darren played 43 minutes. Memo played 41. Boozer played 40. I got to tell you what. I know guys are playing defense more now and things like that. I just wonder about this load management stuff, of whether it's even true. Some of these things I seriously wonder on the schedule and load management. Like, has there really been real science that's been done on these things? I'm not entirely convinced. Karolinko had 7 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks, typical. Jazz got almost nothing off the bench that night. Millsap played 7 minutes, was 0-for-4. Ronnie Brewer played 14 minutes, was 2-for-5. C.J. Miles was 1-for-5. Bad bench night for the Jazz. They get outscored 22-17 and lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers in a beautiful barn burner of a game, 82-73. Oh, my gosh. Both teams' effective field goal percentage was below 40%. What a disaster. The next night out, the Jazz would play the Golden State Warriors back, or two nights later, at home, and they would win 104-100, the Warriors team that would end up playing in the playoffs later in the year. A Warrior team at the time was 32-39 and would later end up in the playoffs. Baron Davis, Steven Jackson, Jason Richardson, Al Harrington, Andres Bjelland, with Monte Ellis and Matt Barnes coming off the bench. Boozer had 25 points, 21 rebounds, and 5 assists to beat the Warriors. Woo! Millsap had 16-6 that night and hit a 3. Jazz took 6 threes against the Warriors, who took 28. Warriors went 14 of 28. The Jazz went 2 of 6. Jazz were lucky to win that game. But the Jazz shot 53% overall. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks very much to our sponsors for being a part of the program. Murdoch Hyundai, DraftKings, and Barbecue Pit Stop. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.